Tonight, it's a very special thing because I'm going to get to just share with you something from my personal life, a glimpse into the life of O. I'm going to share with you some of my passions and something that the Lord has taught me, actually started teaching me 4 years ago when I went to Austria. And so first thing I want to say is that life with God is an adventure. And this isn't part of the thing. This is something I'm saying. It's an adventure because I had no clue that I would end up in Beaver, Oklahoma one day. You know, from Guatemala to Beaver, and it's a world of difference, and I can't even go into how we got there, but we got there, and God used that to shape me. After that, I planned to come to OU. In fact, I applied and I did all that, but God changed my direction. I ended up going to Southwestern. And after I graduated, I went to Austria. Now, Austria, you guys know for the Sound of Music. You guys know it for the mountains. In fact, I didn't even know the Sound of Music before I got there. Everyone said, you're going to have to take the tour. I was like, what tour? The Sound of Music. I had no clue. And so that was a great new voyage for me. And I came to OU, back to Oklahoma, not thinking I would be here with you guys for these past 2 years. And sadly, in a way, I'm on the verge of a new voyage. I've been here 2 years, and I've prayed about this a whole bunch, and I really feel that God is leading me now into a new area, in a new stage in life, and that is into the working world. So as of June, in a couple months, or a month and a half, I will formally, I guess, step off the BSU staff, and I'm going to pursue a job, and I'm going to be plugged in my church, and I'm going to be plugged in our small groups, reaching some of the same people I've been reaching, but just not in this context. So it's a little scary just be launching out to the real world, and I think I'm even at the same place as most of you guys are, getting ready to graduate. So I'm right there with you, man. I'm scared. Whew. But you know what? I'm jumping in. I'm running. I've learned, especially after Andrew's talk last week, that I'm going to dive into that water, you know? So tonight I want to start with a story, okay? And bear with me, okay? I grew up in Beaver where we had rolling hills. And I went to a place called Austria where there was steep hills. But somehow, through that, God awakened a passion in me and I didn't know existed. I love mountains. The sights just capture me. It's one of my passions. And you guys probably saw me running around Glorieta in the snow. I'm crazy like that. But I love it. It just awakens me, and I'm out there. Kind of like the song we were singing earlier, that my soul, my heart just cries out, "You are amazing, God," when I see this creation. And so I want to tell you what happened. So I was in Austria. I was learning German. I didn't know very much. Let me think. I went to a place called Wolfgangsee. It's a little lake called Wolfgang, and where the Austrian Baptist student convention, whatever, had their Jesus camp. And across the lake, there was this real nice mountain, and it took about 3 hours to hike. And of course, me, I'm thinking, I can do this, no problem. So I took off. I'll bury the details, but eventually I got up, and it was just amazing to be there and to see this wonderful lake below. But as I approached the top, I was looking at the lake, and I kind of was stepping backwards, you know, kind of watching my step. But as I looked up to the horizon, oh my gosh, I froze. And it was like this hallelujah moment, except I didn't hear hallelujahs. It was just an you know, just like that. And I thought, what is that? I'm telling you, I gasped. Like, my breath was gone. I mean, besides climbing up the mountain, I literally lost my breath. And I want to show you what I saw. Can somebody get the lights? I saw that. Yeah. And so I asked around, I asked some local people, hey, what's that mountain over there? And they told me it's the Dachstein. And in my limited German, figured out that it probably meant the rock that touches the ceiling or something like that, the roof of the world. And of course, naturally, it's like, man, oh, I bet you can climb that. I want to climb that. So I got back after Jesus camp. All I can think of was Dachstein. So I went back to my little dorm, and I was looking at it online, and I got a phone call. And it was this lady speaking to me in German, and so I had my pen and paper, my dictionary, trying to figure out all the words. So to make it short, I was invited to go with this lady's youth group to hike Dachstein. So it was like a dream come true. A week ago, or a week prior to that, I'd seen, I thought, Lord, wow, you are amazing. I'm looking at this thing, and I want to hike it. A week later, I get an invitation saying, hey, would you like to go with us? And by the way, we're hiking a mountain called Dachstein. So, you know, right there, God just blessed me. And I was able to go and see this wonderful thing. Let's flip to the next one. Same picture, a little bit closer. And the peak, I guess the tallest one, that's the peak called Dachstein. And, you know, I just love the mountaintop experience. I love not only being on top and just taking this all this in, but also just the journey of pressing on, even when you're tired, just pushing yourself to the limit. And so on the mountain, you know, I have my little pocket Bible, and I pull, you know, I pull it out, and I open to the Psalm 92, verses 4 and 5, and it says, "For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for the joy at the work of your hands." Isn't that incredible? I was singing to the sound of music to this mountain. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. So it was just amazing. And then during that same time, I flipped over to Psalm 102. And verses 25 and 26 says, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing, and you will change them, and they will be changed." So I got to thinking about that. I was like, Lord, you're saying that all this that I'm seeing is going to fade away. It's going to pass away. And you are going to endure. So John talks about that in Revelation, where it says that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything that we know is going to pass away. And so that thought just really gripped me, because I had seen death before, you know, through relatives. And it's almost like it was hitting here and hitting here, but all of a sudden it thinks, Lord, it can happen to me. And I became a Christian when I was 18, so the hope of heaven was already in my heart. But when you see stuff like this and you read Psalms like, all this is going to disappear in the work of your hands and the Lord endures forever, you begin to ask yourself some really serious questions. Like, what is life about? What is this for? Why do I exist? Why am I here? And so all I could think of was standing before God. And I think we've all heard it, you know, when we've used evangelism tools, when we go up to somebody and say, hey, if you were to die tonight, what would you tell God? Well, why would he let you into your heaven? So I had that picture in my mind thinking, what would I tell God? I mean, I knew I was saved, right? I knew I had an entry, but just my life, what did I use it for? You know? Let's flip to the next one. Okay, that's the same mountain from the opposite angle. So clear, like, you know, 100 miles away from the other side, looking from the north, looking south. And what you see there is a glacier. It was incredible. So we took up around this lake to the right and just started going. It took us 14 hours to get to the base, 9 hours to get to the base of that glacier, and then another 5 to get to the very peak. Amazing. Go ahead. That's me. I'm hiking. Next one. That's me again. That's me at about 12,000 feet, and by this time I'm acting all cool, like, yeah, I can do this. But let me tell you, man, it was hard. Next one. That's me again. We had some ropes. We had steep areas. Notice me, I'm pulling the ropes. Okay. And that's me going down. Unfortunately, when we got to the very top, it was a foggy day. I couldn't take pictures of the glacier. So my hope is to go back someday. But this is the sight that I saw. And you guys remember that first lake that we saw? It's that little bitty one, clear way in the back. Incredible, all right? Flip the next one. That's the group that I took. And the lady on the right, she's the one that called me and invited me to go. And I'm setting you up for something, okay? I have a point to all this. Whoa! How'd that get there? Next one. Sorry. By the way, that was me, you know, just me, back in my Austrian days, so. All right, we can just flip through these. I didn't climb this one. This one I surely didn't climb. This is Everest. I don't think I ever want to do that one. These are random shots, which I'm going to refer to, so remember these. The Forbidden City, the links with the pyramid, the camel and the pyramids and the soldiers in China, the terracotta soldiers. And where? In Xi'an, that's right. Okay, that's cool. So I tell you guys all this because when I hiked this mountain, God started to teach something, which I knew, but being there on this mountain, by the way, this glacier, we had to cross about 50 yards of it with normal hiking boots. The way they do it in Austria is they get to a hut. And at this hut, they give you, you know, the hiking gear that you need, like the spikes on your boots and the picks and everything, so you can go up on it. But we didn't know that, and we took the hard trail that led us directly onto the glacier, and so we had to cut across like this. And so it's a slope. And if you know anything about glaciers, which I didn't before then, that glaciers crack. And some cracks could be this tiny or this wide or this wide. And so if I was walking across on this slope and I were to slip, I would go until I either fell into a crack or the ice was like uneven and I would hit an edge and it probably cut me open. Okay, so this is going through my mind. I'm thinking, Lord, I could see you right now. I mean, the next thing I know, I could be looking at the face of Christ. And so there's an immediate fear. And some of you may have heard this story before in more detail. I'll spare you. But this fear suddenly turns into this like expectation where I'm crossing and then I start to slip and I'm like, God, okay, not yet. Jesus, okay, not yet. I'm telling you, it was the, oh man, I get nervous just telling about it because I remember. But luckily we're able to cross and I fall to the ground. And again, these thoughts of thinking, Lord, you endure forever. My life is but a mist. My life here is going to end and my soul will continue. And luckily I've believed in your son. I've decided to follow him and I've asked for forgiveness. So I was securing that. But the whole time I'm thinking, but what has my life amounted to? And sure, I was there on mission. And so I guess the idea that I want to talk to you about in the few moments that we have left is that Jesus is our greatest treasure. I'm going to jump straight to it. This idea of laying up our treasures in heaven. And if you've noticed on the title, that's what I got. And so I just want to give you some things that God laid on my heart. And they may be simple. They may be basic. But they're so crucial for our life here on earth as we're passing through this life until we get to heaven. Because that's where we're going. That's what I want to talk about tonight. We need to have an eternal perspective that my body, you know, it might have crashed against the rocks. It might fall over when I'm jogging tomorrow, you know, my 3 miles or whatever. But my soul is going to be in the presence of God. And, you know, we are eternal creatures, our souls. And the question, of course, is where we'll spend it. I mean, if you've trusted Christ, then you'll spend it in the presence of God. So the first point that I want to make tonight is that man will die physically and face judgment. That's just a fact of life. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 says, just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Okay, so that's a fact. Count on it. Someday our bodies are going to quit. Number two, just as our bodies are going to quit, this earth, this world, as we know it, is going to pass away. And everything in it, I want to add. You know, when God created the earth, he intended for us to be in his presence. And then when man fell, when sin came into the world, then it's slowly in decay. And it's going to end, right? And it's going to fade away. And so Revelations 21, 1 through 4, talks about John seeing this vision of a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So you remember all those pictures of those mountains that we just flipped through? They're going to be gone. And so being on this mountain, it just really gripped me. I'm thinking, Lord, this mountain like could disappear right now and I'm going to be hanging in the midair, you know? So there are key thoughts, and I know you've probably thought about this before, but I just want to remind you. Thirdly, we were not made for this world. or at least the way it has become. We were made to be in the presence of God. And this is where I want to throw some scripture at you. Philippians 3, 19 and 20. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Paul's reminding the Philippians where we're going. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his. Okay, so we were not made for this earth that we have in this condition. We were made to be in the presence of God, okay? So Paul reminds the Philippian church, Philippians, almost said Philippines, always get those confused, that our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven. Colossians 3, 1 to 3, it says, since you have been raised with Christ, we ought to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And verse 2, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. So see, in this life, you know, we can enjoy a multitude of things. I was able to enjoy the mountains. We enjoyed Glorieta. We enjoyed this beautiful day that we had today. A bit windy, but it was beautiful. We can enjoy that. But we need to have a good perspective that, you know, everything we see, we're just passing through. And someday we're going to see the face of God. And it's important to keep that in mind, because that enables us to say, okay, God, I'm only here for a short while. I have a purpose. Obviously, it's to bring glory to God. We need to start now. So how am I going to do that? Where it says, set your heart on things above and not on earthly things. Set your minds, remembering that this world is going to pass away. Matthew 16, 19 through 21 talks about, in fact, I'll read it. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy. Then it says in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this whole idea that we're here, okay, we're alive. But we're supposed to lay up our treasures in heaven. And so the question is, how do we do that? I mean, do we make a deposit? Do we do good deeds all the time? Do we memorize scripture? All of those things are good. But point four, which really should be number one, is we need to understand that Jesus is our greatest treasure. Because we were created to glorify him. He is most, in fact, I read this in a book recently, that he is most glorified when we delight in him. Just a while ago, I wrote down some of the lyrics we were singing. And oh man, they're so true. We were singing that God is amazing. You are an amazing God. Another line said, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is filled with his glory. We saw some pictures, just a glimpse of his glory, right, of his creation. Another song we sang with the lines of, I need you, I need you, I need you. And that's the cry of our heart. We were created for God, and so we need him more than anything. And then the last song, or maybe not the last song, but one of the songs, one of the lines is that we may gaze upon your beauty. You know, if you go back to the creation, you imagine being able to walk with God and talk to him face to face and gaze upon his beauty? That's what we were created for. But you know, now we got a situation called sin. And he came back. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from that. And now our hope is that, Lord, you're with us now. And we're in this world going through with our sights set on heaven. Because that's our citizenship, and that's where we're going to end up. And everything we build on here, it's going to be destroyed. So 1 John 5, 11 through 3 puts it very simple. 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13. Sorry, I might have mumbled that. And if I like say something in Spanish, I do that sometimes. I like all of a sudden switch over. Let me know. Seriously, you think, I mean, I've done it before, haven't I? Okay. Verse 11, and this is the testimony, okay? This is what it boils down to. In fact, the song, all of life comes down to just one thing, okay? God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. Very simple, very clear. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So He is everything. Without Him, true joy and happiness and love and peace and life is not possible. If you have all the treasures in the whole world, but do not have Christ, you have nothing. Now, we ran through these pictures pretty fast after the big muscle one, you know. I was kind of embarrassed, so we forwarded it real fast. We saw the Forbidden City. I don't know much about it, but it's forbidden. Emperors sat there. There it is. Treasures were amassed there, kept and guarded. But just like the verses we've said, that thing and the treasures are going to disappear. So I can't put my hope in that. The other pictures. The Egyptian pyramid, you know, it was created to protect or hold worldly treasures. And I can even only imagine, you know, what kind of golds and you guys seen the mummy? Something like that, you know, locked up in there. But the truth is, if they did not have Christ, their souls are lost. They're eternally separated from God, from the Lord. So see, it doesn't matter what kind of treasures you have, because if you don't have the ultimate treasure, which is Christ, it adds up to nothing, because this world will pass away and your soul will be lost. How about the soldiers? I've read a little bit about this because I will be going to Southeast Asia here in a few weeks. Unfortunately, I won't be close to this place, but what I learned, that it belonged to Emperor Shiwon. Something like that. Someone help me out. Somebody knows. Qin Shi Huang's. I've got to practice that. All right, I'm going to come back there. This guy started building his empire around 246 BC, which later became the first emperor of all of China. And it took 11 years to finish. Now, what this is, what you're looking at, are replicas of life-size soldiers. Okay? Flip to the next one, please. So this guy wanted to be buried with his army and all his treasure so that he could go into his afterlife ready for battle so that no one could take his treasure away. I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't know the guy. But through the Bible, if he did not have Christ, I mean, obviously, this stayed behind, and it's going to be destroyed when the earth fades away. But, you know, see what I'm getting at? Just a reminder. So we were created for God. Okay, thanks for the pics. We were created to be in His presence, right? And check out Psalm 16:11. It says, you will make known to me the path of life. This is the psalmist, right? So singing, probably singing because he was a musician, to God. And it says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. That's a great promise. This is the God that we follow. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. We long for that. You know, we want to be happy. We seek out entertainment because I want to have fun. But it's short-lived. Later I have to come back and study because I have a test tomorrow, and next week is dead week, supposed to be, but, you know, we don't get a break. Or I may climb these mountains, and, you know, through all that joy, there's still pain. I'm thinking, man, I don't know if this is worth it. But see, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Nothing, no joy can compare. Not even this, you know, I don't have a lot of money, that's true. But I have seen God's faithfulness, and I've seen that in His presence there is joy. And so I don't want it. We need it, I mean, for life, but that's not the focus. And so my point here is, by pursuing God and by walking with Jesus, we'll be fulfilled completely, because that's why we were created. Sometimes it seems difficult, you know, because it seems like there are two opposite ends. We want to be happy with our idea of happiness, but we also want to be faithful to God. And it seems like, man, if I follow God, I have to learn verses. I have to have quiet times, and then, you know, I can't go to this party, you know, because, you know, we're really seeking fulfillment. We're seeking life. Now, if you're a Christian, the promise is, if you have the Son, you have life. But the fulfillment, it's not going to be found in any of the things. It's not like buying a ticket and saying, okay, God, I'm in. Now I'm just going to go play around and seek my enjoyment, you know? Because it's unfulfilling. Because in your presence is fullness of joy. Revelation 4, 9 through 11 talks about the vision of John. It says the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And he will cast their crowns before the throne. Verse 11, worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. John heard the creatures and the elders saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. So I begin to see a picture here that when we're in heaven, we're going to be worshiping. And our treasure, the thing that we will want, in fact, probably can't help but do, is just fall to our feet. Fall to our feet. Fall to our face. And worship God, who is worthy forever and ever. Now, if I was captured and I was in awe of this mountain, you know, which I always am, because it touches me. It touches me deep, you know what I mean? Thanks. And it's just a reflection of the glory of God. I'm thinking, oh, holy Lord. So when I was back, you know, on that little steep cliff with the snow, and I was shuffling, I was scared. But at the same time, I was expecting to see God's glory. And I don't have a death wish or anything, but at that moment, I really didn't think I had a choice. But I look for that day. So again, God is our greatest treasure. I got two more to go, all right? And I'll go through these quick. So now that we have, if we've accepted Jesus Christ, He is our treasure. We find fulfillment in Him. There's still the struggle that we have. We still have to fight selfishness. We sing a song that, what's that song? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I don't even know the title of that song, but I remember the line. Come thou fount. That's our heart. Do you guys feel that? You know, you want to stick it out. You say, Lord, I will seek you. But then before 10 o'clock, you've wondered. Or at least I have. It's a battle. So that's why I'm reminding you that He is our greatest treasure. We have it. And we need to seek Him. And number five is that we should surrender any earthly treasure if we have it. Or surrender the idea of living for earthly treasure. Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And I know we're constantly, you know, bombarded with things. We live in a material world, you know, and you know, I'm not saying it's not okay to have good things. I like nice things. Check out my watch. It's nice, you know. It was a gift from my mom. Graduation, 2000. All right. But what I'm saying is that we should not strive for these things. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, to recap, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And so I read in a book that we've been going through called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And it says that our hearts, okay, everyone lives for some kind of treasure. We were created to be worshipers, okay? And so we do not worship God. We worship something, and it's usually ourselves. And he also says that the thing that is our treasure will control our heart. And what controls our heart controls our behavior. So we need to keep that in mind. You know, God is our greatest treasure. We're saying, Lord, give me strength to throw down everything else so that I may seek you. And, you know, and there's verses that I'm just not going to read, but I'm just going to mention. Matthew 13:44. Talks about a man going and selling everything that he has so he can purchase a field. That's how we should hold. That's the attitude we should have about our, you know, earthly treasure of our desires and dreams. They're good, and some of them may be good, God-given, but that's not the ultimate thing. We should hold it open with an open hand and say, Lord, I'm following you first thing. I want to let go of everything so I can have you, like the field, you know. Matthew 19:20-22, talking about the rich young ruler, when Jesus tells him, hey, go sell everything that you have. And, you know, he may or may not be telling you to do that. But the idea is the attitude. Are you willing to let go of what you have to follow me? And then there's also the story of the talents. God gives us things. He's entrusted to us. What are we going to do with them? And that's how I see it, that we have a treasure now. We talked about that at Glorietta. We have a treasure entrusted. And how are you spending it? Which leads me to my last point, which is we need to use what we have or what we don't have at this point to magnify God. Colossians, oh man, I believe it's 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we don't join a club. We're saying, okay, we got the treasure. We got Jesus. And all of a sudden, we just keep it up, right? Proverbs 11:24-25. You guys are going to be reading a lot when you go back and read all these verses, which is good. And I'm almost done. We should hold it open, okay? Our hands wide open. If God blesses us, it's because he wants us to bless other people. The biggest treasure we have is Christ. So we should be sharing that first thing. Some of you are going to graduate and have great jobs. Remember the BSU staff. Which I think is great. If God blesses you in that way, give thanks to him and use what he has given you to bring glory to him. You may not be able to go to the field or be on staff full time or whatever, but you can give. If he blesses you with a big home, I don't know, have sleepovers or with your friends. Oh, man. Like, if you're a guy and if you're... Oh, man. Let's move on. For example. I know a guy named Gene War who has a great ranch and he's got a house. And he lets us go. And he blesses us. And we're... You know, you guys have been there. Some of you have. You're able to go and have fun. And you know, God has given that man. But he is turning around and glorifying God. Another guy named Humphreys got a place up at the lake. Some of you been there? He's turning around and saying, Lord, you've given this to me, and I want to open it up for your glory. And he lets us use it. We go there and, you know, we go and camp out. And I also know a guy named Max and his wife, Sandra, who I hear the story about how they found their house and how they prayed about it and that they were looking for a house big enough so that they can have MT. And Lord gave it to them. And what did they do? They opened up their home so that they can glorify God. And a lot of you were on their teams. And he even lets us use his pool, which is cool. Summer's coming. So, Proverbs 11:24 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's talking about monetary things. But you know what? Again, the biggest treasure that we have is Christ. So we need to tell the people we're living without God where to find life. Where to find fullness of joy. Where to find fullness of pleasures that the way He intended from the beginning. So to recap, the same questions that I had on the mountain. How are you spending your time now that you have this treasure? What are you investing in? Worldly treasures? Or are you do you have an eternal perspective to say, Lord, here's what I got. Here's what I can do for you. Who are you working for? Basic one, where's your treasure? Where's your heart? And the fact that Jesus is our ultimate treasure should drive us in these areas. All these questions should line up according to that, saying, okay, Lord, if you are my greatest treasure, then my time should be spent on seeking you. If you are my greatest treasure, which he is, then I need to be investing in you. That's where my heart should be. Not on this earth, not on my desires, because it will pass away. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I don't know what he's talking about, and you haven't taken that first step to receive Jesus Christ, that's where life begins. And some of you, even with Christ, are trying to seek out life in other areas. You might be, you know, seeking out relationships or seeking out jobs. And you're starting to find that it's just not fulfilling. Life is not there. Because it wasn't intended to. Jesus is our life. And so I just want to say to you guys, if you're struggling with this question, if you're unsure, if you know that you have not trusted God with your life, Jesus Christ, that's where the treasure is. And you may even ask the person that brought you, the person on your floor. I don't want to make it uncomfortable for anybody, but I want to speak truth to you that Jesus came to this earth to rescue us from sin. And you can invite Jesus Christ into your heart right now if you have not done that. If you haven't received this treasure, right? So if you believe that God is holy and you're a sinner and that you're separated from God, and if you also believe that Jesus Christ came to save you, that's all you need. All you need to do is pray to Him and tell that to Him and say, Lord, I know that I'm separated from you. And I know that there's life in Jesus Christ and He forgives me. And I'll choose to follow Him tonight. Our BSU staff, we're not mean. In fact, we really wish that we could meet and know all of you. It's just, you know, it takes us a while. So you can come to us. You know, if you're battling with this question, come and seek us out. We want to help you get this settled to make sure that you do have the ultimate treasure, which is Christ. Or, like I said, ask the one that you came with you, or ask the person on your floor, or do something. And if you have received Jesus Christ and you've kind of been trying to seek life somewhere else, think about what I said, this reminder that Christ is our ultimate joy. And to finish, finally, I want to read to you Psalm 16:1-11. And we read the last verse earlier, but I just think it's cool, and I really wish that I want to leave this with you tonight. It says, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have been bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. He's talking about he's not going to seek other gods. He's not going to seek fulfillment or enjoyment in anything else except God. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, like a treasure we're inheriting. And my cup, you support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. The idea of setting your mind, your heart up in heaven. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. That's my God. Do you know him? I hope you do. So let me pray over you tonight. I hope you know that the lesson that I started to learn 4 years ago and that I'm still learning, that you would just join with me in understanding that, man, God's our treasure, Jesus Christ, and in him is life. So, Father, I want to thank you just for this evening and for your word. I want to thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, Lord, from sin, to rescue us from separation. And, Lord, you are our treasure. When we get to heaven, you know, the Bible talks about mansions and streets of gold and crystal seas, but all those things are just, Lord, they're not going to compare to your glory. So help us to learn that right now and to live with an eternal perspective that as we go through life, Lord, that we lay up our treasures, beginning with accepting you as our King. And then doing everything that we can with what you've given us to glorify you and sharing your name to others. So thank you for your great promises, and thank you for these students. I pray that they finish strong this semester, and you just go with them. So I ask this in Christ's name.